Hey, it's your old pal Slim, and this is 70mm, a podcast for film lovers. Every Monday, I'm joined by famous artist Danny Haas.
I would do Muppets Treasure Island over Shrek 2.
And spiritual advisor, Protalexis.
I can't just give you an answer. You can't just pull any movie out of your hat and expect, a quality answer from me.
And together as friends forever, we discuss recently watched movies. This episode, I chose to close out Blockbusted Month with Brad Bird's The Iron Giant. Is this the ultimate animated science fiction movie? Or is 2D animation stuck in the past forever? Let's find out together. I put it out on the IG about the Iron Giant. I asked, do you love the Iron Giant? Yes or no?
What's the percentage?
94% said yes.
Oh, baby. That's impressive.
That's a high percentage.
That's really high.
Is that a high percentage?
We haven't hit that high since we asked people if we should do a Hamilton episode, and they said high percentages. Okay. Prada, what's your vibe on those IG poll percentages?
I don't know who these people are. They could be Russian bots for all I know.
Prado hasn't looked at our IG probably in 8 months when he said that we were posting too much. I think he muted our IG account.
He was so mad.
If I remember correctly.
I think my last post was for the Babes in Toyland. That was the last time I logged into that account. Because I had to let the people know this was not my doing.
I just want to call out, we had a bunch of new friends join the patron this week. Mr. Very Long, Will James, Ion Cannon, Tony, Jock, Angelina, Alexandro, Nick, Justin, You Know Me, Whack Dummy, and Yoli. Just a reminder, Under the Wire, if you sign up before May, if you're listening to this and it's the last day of April, you can sign up to our Patreon, $4 a month, and get that free solo print. And that is shipping. When is that shipping?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We still got a lot of work to do to get those things printed.
It's a lot of prints.
Have you seen the state of the USPS? I ask you.
I don't know about you Northeasters.
Coast people, we are shambling. In hell right now. Absolute hell.
We're living in Thunderdome.
Let's talk about something positive. Danny watched Super 8 this week, and I want to get into it.
Yes. Thank you.
What made you dig into that this week?
You know, I'm not sure, actually. I don't know what made me think about it. Maybe someone else reviewed it on Letterboxd, and I was just like, man, I've only seen this once or twice. And I remember seeing in theaters and just being straight blown away. Like, these are the movies that check every single box for me. I love the kids on adventure. I'm a J.J. Abrams fan of this era. It's so much fun. Like, I don't understand how you could watch that and just not have a good time. The kids are incredible. They have such good chemistry. The story is so fun. That train wreck sequence is phenomenal. Like, it's what movies are for. Like, this is what you go to the movies to see, is Super 8. Mm-hmm. These kids making a film, and you get to watch it in the credits. Like, it's just funny. It's just great. And I mean, I only gave it 4.5 stars. I don't know why I don't give it a 5-banger, but
wow. Death sentence.
It's just so much fun. Like, if I could see that on the big screen again, I definitely would. I love it. I just love it so much. It's just smart. It's just a
That'd
smart
drive-in drive.
Oh my God.
Whatever you call that.
It'd be a great drive-in movie. I just love that film. I know you only gave it 3.5 stars, and you tried to like throw some Stranger Things shade in your.
I think it's because I rewatched Super 8 for the second time post Stranger Things.
Right. And not thinking that Stranger Things stole ideas from Super 8.
If I can actually maybe speak for myself, That would be fantastic.
I'm listening.
I think if you watch Super 8 after having, I think Stranger Things was super hot at the time. And you, I feel like you can't go watch Super 8 and not be clouded somewhat by Stranger Things, for better or worse. And I've said a lot of negative things about Stranger Things. I'll be the first to tell you that there's some really annoying BS in that show. But I don't know. They're just very similar now. What's your vibe on that?
I didn't make it past 90%. Season 2, episode 2 of Stranger Things.
Trash.
Oh my. Season 2 is not good.
Season 3 is good, I think.
Season 3 is the best.
I like season 3.
Oh, wait a second. Season 3. Is that the one when they're in the mall?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's where I quit.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. You had enough. You made it 90%. I got
Millie Bobby Brown.
Mel just said snoozy Bobby Brown. Mel also said she was eating a smoothie bowl in Venice Beach and JJ walked by her.
That sounds made up.
That is so detailed to the point where it's 100% made up. Did you watch Super 8 Proto? Do you have any thoughts on that movie?
Yeah, I think I saw that in the theater. I feel like I remember feeling a little, I don't know, like it was fun, but yeah, it was fun. Okay. That's all that's coming to me in this moment.
Danny's making the scrunched Kermit face right now.
But here's the thing. You put him on the spot, Matt. Okay.
I did. This is an old movie. Okay?
I can't expect Frodo to just have it on the cuff right now for a review. Matt, calm down.
I can't just give you an answer. You can't just pull any movie out of your hat and expect, a quality answer from me.
I haven't even gotten into my David Lean journey for Proto to be frustrated.
Can we get into that now?
Listen, I
Bridge on the River Kwai.
The first of the David Lean journey because it wasn't for me. I didn't want to do it. I really was looking forward to Bridge on the River Kwai. And this is a long movie. Very long.
Spoilers.
And it is very boring. I could care less about any of this story. Like it made absolutely no sense to me why 200 prisoners couldn't overtake these five
guns. Ever heard of them? They shoot bullets.
They shoot one at a time. These aren't even automatic. They had one automatic gun in the back of a truck that finally pulled up. Get out of here.
Were they still loading these guns with pipes and gunpowder? Is that what you're thinking?
They could have overtaken the whole camp. I don't care about the principal.
Didn't you hear what Obi-Wan said? Did you listen to a single word he said?
Thank you for saying that. Because every time Alec Guinness opened his mouth, I was transformed back to Star Wars and I was so bored with this film that I wish I was watching A New Hope instead of this because I was so bored. But that being said, that final scene in Bridge is phenomenal. Like I remember stopping what I was doing and just like almost my jaw was open because I really loved that scene. That was like top tier movie moment for sure. I don't want to spoil too much if you haven't seen it. There's a bridge and a cool fight.
Wait. So hold on a second.
Say it.
You said you stopped what you were doing. So you stopped watching the bridge on the River Kwai to watch what was going on.
Wait,
in the
spell
movie
it out for me.
You said, I stopped what I was
doing. You know how in West Side Story, you were so bored with the music you were on your phone? In this, I was so bored with this film, I had to do other things to stay awake. Like I was jogging in place. Or
were you watching this
knitting
at 1 a.m.?
No, this was in the middle of the afternoon.
We need to move on. We haven't even gotten to the Iron Giant yet.
I'm actually working on a song.
Oh, God.
Based on this movie.
Sing it.
Wait, did you watch it?
I watched the first hour, but...
Oh, see?
I haven't had a chance, okay? Do you know how many movies I have to watch for the show on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I remember you started sweating in our DMs when I reminded you that we had West Side Story to watch and it was 2.5 hours.
I rest my case. Let's move on. Proto, what'd you watch this week?
I was perusing Twitter. And our friends over at Letterboxd, they often post, they'll have some some tweet about some movie. It's usually a screen grab, and then you're like, "Oh, what's that?" And then they reply, they tell you what movie it was. And this, they had a Gene Hackman.
Oh yeah,
making some sharp line about some other director, and mm-hmm. it was the movie Night Moves from 1975. I was like, "Oh, Gene Hackman. I haven't watched an old Gene Hackman movie before. I like him. I like him in the Royal Tenenbaums." So then I watched the trailer, and I was enthralled by the trailer for this movie. I just had to see it. I bought it sight unseen.
Oh my right gosh. There.
I've never seen it.
After
this
watching the trailer. It's about Gene Hackman plays a private investigator. Mm-hmm. Who is a retired, he used to play professional football. Now he's a private investigator. He gets this job to look for this woman's missing daughter. Mm. And he kind of just goes on this this wild goose chase from person to person, tracking her down. He eventually finds her. And then this movie has like a really slow burn, like the middle. By the middle, you're like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Like, where is this movie even going? A lot of nothing burger scenes that might appeal to Slim. Mm-hmm. But then the ending is fantastic. It kind of all ties together, and you come to realize what was going on during the whole movie, which I really love. I found the ending really satisfying. But also, Gene Hackman, he's the greatest angry actor ever. He has some amazing scenes where he gets pissed off, and I love it. He reminds me of, I don't know if everyone has this experience, but growing up, there was a few, I had a few friends who had an angry dad who just seemed like pissed off all the time. And when I was really young, that kind of dad would, scare me. And like, I would, you try to avoid them. But then as you get older, like once I was like a teenager, I really admired the angry dad who was willing to be angry in front of someone else's kids. He wouldn't hide it. Like, this is just who he was. And he was going to be pissed off if I was there, if I wasn't there. And I love that. And Gene Hackman reminds me of those dads that I knew growing up.
It's like Danny in Discord.
Yes.
Angry dad. Angry dad vibes.
Had you seen The French Connection?
No. And I haven't seen The Conversation either. I really want to watch Gene. That.
Oh, gosh. Anything else, Proto?
With my kids, I watched the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And I had very low expectations going into that. And my expectations were met. I gave that movie 1 star. It's not a terrible viewing experience, but it's just very bad though.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
Wow.
Like, of turning any video game character or whatever from like pop culture into a movie. Like, I don't think you could have done a worse job.
Jeez.
I don't know if it's been worse than that.
Remember they had to pull that movie back because the Sonic community really hated the design of the character. So they like actually put more money into the movie to re-CGI him.
Yeah, he was too human, I think. But if, what video game property should be turned into a movie?
Mortal Kombat.
Halo, okay.
Halo's, huh? God, remember when they shot the rights around to Halo?
Let's not dig into that.
What a disaster of a franchise outside of games. I mean, some of the games are a disaster.
They would still probably make a buttload of money if they turned Halo into a movie.
Marcy points out that Halo has a TV show coming. I feel like that TV show has been coming for the last 10 years. It's been on Showtime or something.
It's going to be on Stars next, something Stars, people don't pay for.
Get it out of here.
I have no idea. I'm just mad that we don't have something.
Who I blame is that Blomkamp.
Yes.
Blomkamp. Ugh.
Yes, Neil.
Blomkamp. Golly. Oh,
I'm pissed.
It's moving to Paramount Plus.
There you go. Good. Paramount Plus. This has got even worse.
This is finished. It's absolutely finished. I think the bloom is off the rose, of a Halo property.
I don't know if you can
cut
say
this
that.
Whole conversation out. I'm pissed off now. Paramount Plus.
Let's start from the top.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, we need to move on.
We do. Wait, what'd you watch?
I watched, this might shock you, but I watched a lot of movies this last week. We did some basement reno, and then the next day we just kind of vegged out with that new Planet of the Apes collection that was released.
Oh, yeah.
And we watched, well, mostly me. I think Amanda slept through half of them. But I watched the OG Planet of the Apes movies pretty much all in one shot.
I love it.
And I had never, seen most of them. I don't even know if I watched the first one. First one's okay. Charlton Heston. Second one was really cool. Mm-hmm. Beneath the Planet of the Apes. I didn't know anything about the plot of that. I thought that was pretty sweet. A little, I don't want to talk about it, but you can kind of figure it out. But my favorite one of the bunch, I'm trying to make sure I have the name of the title, was Escape from the Planet of the Apes, the third one.
The third one, solid, babe.
1971. I also just want to point out that they made 5 Planet of the Apes movies in 6 years.
Insane.
What is going on?
Back to back to, it's just, it's the best. I love
Halo
it.
Halo can't even get a TV show in 20 years, and they made 5 of these Planet of the Apes movies. So they, the two main characters, the two ape characters from the first movie, it starts out, it's like all Twilight Zone. Like, I think even What's-His-Face wrote the screenplay to the first movie, Rod Sterling. And the third one, they travel backwards through time and land on Earth. Mm. So they like, it's the movie starts out amazing. They crash land. All the military goons are like waiting until they take their masks off, and it's just like them in the suits. It's so campy. It's funny. I was laughing the whole movie.
I'm so happy you went on that journey.
Thank you. And unfortunately, I ended it with the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes. That's not in the collection. I had to grab that separately.
Why'd you do
that? What was Tim doing? Planet of the Apes. Mark Wahlberg.
I don't know. I blame you for watching.
Was he just cashing a check during that entire movie? It's a disaster.
Yes.
It's trash.
Mm-hmm. Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
He is.
Proto's so pissed right now.
He is not good.
I mean,
especially in that movie. Tim Roth, I also thought was just too over the top. Nightmare fuel. So that's what I watched this week. And I logged those on Letterboxd, our favorite social media site. It's where Proto revealed his West Side Story rating ahead of our Patreon bonus episode that was just released. And it's our favorite site. So you can sign up and join us. If you share the show on social media, you're entered to win a free year of Letterboxd Pro. So no ads, no third-party ads in the app or the website, and you can get some pretty sweet extra features on top of that. So this week's winner of Letterboxd Pro is The Lady February on Twitter.
Hello.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
That is a real screen cap. Remnant just posted.
I can't look at that.
That's Tim Burton's former lover. If you can guess, what famous female actress is in 98% of Tim Burton movies? You're right. Helena Bonham Carter. And if you want to support Letterboxd, you can sign up for pro or patron status on your own at 20% off using the link on 70mmpod.com. Is it time?
Let's do it.
For the Iron Giant 1999. This is my final pick for blockbusted month. This month feel like it's been going on for 2 months.
Right?
So was there 6 weeks in this month?
I feel sick.
Underperforming movie. I went digging and there was a list that had the Iron Giant on there, an underperforming movie at the box office. So this is my pick. I had a print in mind. Proto, can you walk us through this movie?
It's 1950s Americana and Cold War. And Hogarth Hughes is looking for a friend. A latchkey kid on a strict diet of Twinkies and late-night horror, Hogarth's imagination runs wild as he runs through the woods of his sleepy town. Then, something falls from the sky, something big, and Hogarth finds that friend he has been looking for, a robot taller than a house. But someone else is looking for the robot, and will not stop until he is destroyed. Hogarth is just a kid, but his friend needs his help, and he will stop at nothing to save the Iron Giant.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you seen this movie, Danny? 100?
I can't count anymore. It's not possible.
Can't even count that high. Incalculable. No,
I've never counted that high. I don't do
that. Wow. Proto, what about you? Do you remember your first experience with the Iron Giant?
I don't, but I think this is maybe my third time seeing this.
What? This is probably my second, and I definitely the most aware viewing for me.
You're awake this time.
I was awakened with fresh eyes this viewing. Brad Bird. This era of animated movies, I feel like, is just kind of like a black hole for me. When this movie came out, I was not into it. I didn't really see the appeal. I thought the animation was weird. Like, I don't know, it's old school, but it's a mix of old school 2D animation. Even some of the voice acting just feels old to me. Like the FBI agent.
You're starting to sound negative and I'm getting a little worked up, Matt.
My first note for the Iron Giant on this viewing, is this movie just like every little kid's dream or what?
Every kid's dream.
The plot of this movie.
Right?
You want to be that kid watching the horror, these sci-fi movies that stumbles onto a giant robot in your backyard. And Brad Bird.
He made the dream real.
He made the dream real. So what was your kind of first impressions of seeing Iron Giant for the first time, Danny? What was your vibes?
Oh, for the first time? You know, I don't know. It's like you said, there's just something about, you know, you can see yourself. I can easily see myself as Hogarth. I didn't watch horror movies, but watching these movies and just, I don't know, falling in love with this robot that he's kind of scared of, but he saves and becomes his friend. I mean, this is a beautiful film. And on top of any sort of message that gets portrayed towards the end of it, I just love this film. I love the design of the Iron Giant. It's incredibly genius, and it's also designed by Joe Johnston. So, Rocketeer King. I love this. I love this film with all my heart.
How about Harry Connick Jr.?
How about him?
Is he your favorite?
No.
Voice actor?
No, definitely not. But I don't care. It doesn't bother me in this film, for sure. The soul patch is more disturbing.
The casting choices seem very of the time.
Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Animated Jennifer Aniston? You kidding me?
Unreal. Prada, what about you? What do you got for the Iron Giant?
Well, Danny just brought up the design. One of my favorite scenes is when they're in when they get back to the barn house, he gets the hand back, and then the Iron Giant reconnects his arm, and the little just animations of the bars and the screws and connecting, that animation is just like so pleasing to watch. Just the Iron Giant looks incredibly simple for a giant robot. You know, there isn't much to it. But then there's a lot of like little detail, like that scene where you can see like the complexity and like the high design of it. And then especially at the end, you know, when he kind of turns into a weapon. I love that scene. Was there any CG in this movie?
Yeah. So the brilliant thing about this film is the entire animation of the giant is CG. He's a fully animated, computer generated animation, and they rendered him in 2D. And they even went as far as creating wiggly outlines to him to make it look like hand-drawn animation. So that's why there's this amazing smoothness to the animation of the robot, and so much can be done because they were kind of breaking new ground with this. Like, people can look at this and be like, this is a 2D animated film, but surface level, they did such an amazing job blending the two of them together. But the giant himself is full CG the entire film. It's brilliant. And I think it helps. It helps with the... it just helps with this weirdness of him, how he kind of just doesn't feel in the right place. And I think that's the animation does that for him.
that's probably my favorite part of this is just the animation. There's so much smoothness to it, like you said, like as if it's like running at like 60 frames or something.
Yeah.
In those moments. And it doesn't pull you out of it. I think maybe other movies when I like there's some of those scenes like from like Treasure Planet where the CG, it kind of like, whoa, that doesn't look right in a bad way. Whereas this, it's like you could tell something was different, but it just fit in so perfectly.
Yeah.
And this movie to me, it reminded me of watching like a Fish Tank where it's just very like calming and pleasing between the way that it's animated and then the colors, like the color palette of this I thought was beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. It,
his first like appearance in the water where you think it's the lighthouse and his head is turning, that is stunning. This any scene where he's just kind of like in the forest in the background is so well done with the shadows. And also the shot where he's flying up for the first time and the mother is driving with the truck.
Oh my gosh.
And the camera is just like focused on the truck and you just see him like shoot up. Like, man, Brad Bird, you're cooking with gas right now in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
What was his background before this movie?
So I love Brad's story. So Brad, let me see if I can remember this correctly. Brad, when he was a teenager, he made a short animated film, sent it into Disney. I think it was Milt Call, I think. And Milt hired Brad to be like his assistant or like a protege, kind of bringing him up in the animated world. I think his first gig, he started animation with Fox and the Hound. And so he made his notoriety there. And then he went from doing Disney. I think Spielberg hired him to work on that Amazing Stories show that Spielberg did. And then Brad went to Simpsons. He did a lot of writing for Simpsons, wrote like one of the Crest or directed one of the Krusty episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Simpsons, I think he went to Warner. And that's when he got hooked up with Iron Giant. And then, you know, Pixar fame. He did Ratatouille and Incredibles, which, you know, are Mission amazing Impossible. Films. Yeah. And then, Mission Impossible. Brad, I love Brad. I mean, he's done so much. Especially in the animation scene. I mean, he's a legend.
Yeah, the one other cool, one of my other notes was just them including in the stuff about Superman and the spirit, like the comic books.
Yeah, oh, so cool.
The kid trying to connect about who the robot is or if he's like a good guy. Like just including that to the point where it's not a Superman movie and having it resonate with the giant so much, like at the end of the movie. Like the stuff with the giant, like I get it. I know it's difficult to like animate, but then also make these characters feel like human. But man, they did such a good job where the robot almost accidentally kills him and Harry Connick Jr. like calls him, he's like a weapon and he like makes the connection that like they think he's like a gun. His reaction to that is so good and so real and so well done. Like they had to go through so many iterations of that, but it was so well done creating an emotional character in the giant.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how they don't give him a name in this, you know, he's just the Iron Giant, right? Yeah, like he doesn't have a name, which seems like counterintuitive to a story like this, when you want to try to humanize the robot and like the connection between him and Hogarth. But by not doing that, I don't know. I just think it's an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned the comic books. I love all the nods to the time period. I thought those were so good. Like the, when he's up late watching, which, you know, basically I guess like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the nuclear Holocaust, like videos at school that they're watching, just like all of those bits to reflect the time period, was really fun and just so well done. I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. The phrasing atomic Holocaust was just like crazy. So funny, but like horrifying. And just the way it was presented was so smart. What's on your list, Danny, for the Iron Giant this feeling?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the soul inside of the giant, like how he has this, it's almost like childlike learning abilities, especially with Hogarth and some of the scenes where him learning to talk. There's just something, I don't know, maybe it's the dad in me, but I loved the toddler likeness to this giant being that could easily destroy this town, mm-hmm. like we see at the end. But I don't know. I just love this giant so much. I mean, it's silly, but the learning to talk thing always gets me. There's just something about it that I love. I love Hogarth teaching him, and I love that friendship between the two of them and the bond. It's great. I just love the character of the giant so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even, let's see who pointed that, Shantana. Can we talk about what kind of parents named their child Hogarth? When they first called him Hogarth, I thought they were just going to like call him Garth for the rest of the movie. Like that was his full name that no one ever called him, except maybe like his parents or something, but it never happened. Proto, what else is on your list for the Iron Giant?
I think I need Dean's bathrobe.
Oh.
He had this like red bathrobe with the yin yang on the back. It's like, man, I need a bathrobe like that. You're just chilling around the house. Another thing though is so much animation was great, but the fighter jets near the end, just looked amazing. Them flying through the sky, the sense of speed that they had and like rushing by. I thought that was really, really compelling and looked really great.
I actually just like love Hogarth as a character.
Yeah.
Just so full featured. I love that when that thing was happening outside of the house, he put on that, you know, that winter coat, the boots, the helmet, the glasses, and he loaded up that gun. I just love the idea of a young kid that stays up watching, you know, sci-fi Twilight Zone stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that is so cool. Like this is going to be the coolest kid ever. I just was so tickled by that scene. And the train scene where they're walking by and the giant tears up that train.
Love that scene.
And he's got to like slowly piece it back together as Hogarth is yelling to him. That scene was stressful as hell.
Mm.
Making sure. And then the train still gets like derailed almost.
Yeah. And a little more Disney trivia, the conductors of the train, when they're talking about what happens, the conductors' names are Frank and Ollie, which is the Frank and legendary Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson animators for Disney, and they actually came and did the voices of the conductors, which is pretty cool.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're not getting this info, you know, anywhere else talking to the Iron Giant. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
There's just a vibe in this movie. I was never bored. I was never not entertained by what was happening on screen. And just like made me wonder why this movie wasn't a bigger success. Mm-hmm. I think someone said in Discord this week that it came out the same weekend as like The Sixth Sense.
Well, Warner Brothers under marketed this movie terribly. And I think there was a couple interviews that I remember where they talk about how the success of the how good this film is because of how uninvolved Warner was as a studio. So they got to make the movie they wanted without so much oversight and pushback from studios being involved. So even though the cause of the flop is terrible marketing, probably a poor weekend for it to come out, a lot of Warner's fault, we still got probably the better movie because of it, you know? And there's been such a resurgence. So like when, I forget if Warner sold the rights or how it happened, but Cartoon Network ended up getting the rights to show Iron Giant. And that's kind of how it kind of started this kind of cult following of this film, because it was on TV on Saturdays and kids growing up and the big like resurgence of this film.
Well, it's also unique in the fact that it's it's an original story that's not trying to ride the coattails of, you know, a classic. Like, you know, it's not based on Treasure Island or, you know, a play or, you know, just something that people know and connect with where you can be like, oh, let's go see that animated movie that's based on this thing that we know of, so we're kind of familiar with it already. Like this story, you know, I was thinking about it, like it's so different than what you would expect. Like, it's so stripped down, and like the stakes are pretty low in the movie itself. If like Pixar made this movie, there would have been, you know, Hogarth would have had like a little buddy friend who was like the comedic relief, or he would have had like a pet that was, you know, with him at all times. And there would have just been more characters. There would have been higher stakes. I think, well, of course, like a nuke is going to fall in the city at the end of this movie, but I think it would have just been presented in a different way. Like, that doesn't really, that's not really an issue until the final 10 minutes of the movie. So it just feels very unique in the way that the story is told, where there isn't a major conflict even. Like, yeah, there's the detective there, but like Hogarth is kind of like getting the upper hand with him most of the time. And then it's just like him and the Iron Giant hanging out, you know,
which is amazing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about too, how his, when he thinks, that Hogarth is dead and he turns into like that weapon, like fully formed, like, man, they really nailed like old retro 50s, War of the Worlds type vibe, like so hard, so well done. What did you think of that
scene? I do remember the reveal of that being insanely shocking. Like, you have the lead up to him, you know, the scenes where he goes off on Hogarth and the scrapyard, and where he sees the gun and it triggers him, and you catch it when, I mean, the absolutely incredible deer scene where they're going through the forest and it's gorgeous and they come across the deer in the valley and the deer gets shot, and it's just that scene itself is beautiful, but you see him kind of get triggered with the guns, and but the fully realization of him being a weapon and his power at the end is bonkers. Like when he hits that like one last shot into the ocean that misses everything, that could have easily decimated that entire coastline. It's just nuts. And his design is so cool, like absolutely insanely cool.
My last note is, it was funny seeing the end credits where there's like no animation sequence at all. It's like the movie just ends text. And it's just text on a black screen. And I can't think of the last time I've seen this in an animated movie. It's just so bizarre to see that.
It's a like part of a bygone era in this movie. I mean, even the topic of guns in this movie.
Crazy.
And how the kid has this just fully realized, you know, understanding of the power of a gun. And he's like just sharing that information with the giant in such a way that the giant totally understands it. And probably my last scene too, the voice acting from this kid when he tells the giant that he loves him at the end of this movie.
Yes.
No following.
I love you.
Is this the greatest voice acting in the history of film by a child? Like, I couldn't believe it. Thank you. What I was hearing, I was blown away. So powerful from this kid. Bravo. Yeah,
such good stuff. Such good messages. We need more Hogarths in our world.
For sure.
Yeah. There are some great lines. The one I loved is, it's bad to kill, not bad to die.
Souls don't die. Oh, so much good stuff in this film.
Let me give my final thoughts on the movie. It's not long. It's like 90 minutes. You know, it's not too, there's no fluff in here that I would probably cut out, in my opinion. It was so much fun. I loved Hogarth. I loved the character of this kid. I loved his background. I loved that he liked sci-fi. So interested in it. He got his like dreams realized by finding this robot. And I loved the message in the movie. It's so good. It's so powerful. This movie needs to be playing constantly on every network, any animated network. Put this on Friday night movie night. This is 5 stars for me for the Iron Giant.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, when he said, I love you to the giant, game over, man. For me.
Oh, baby.
Berto, what about you? Closing thoughts for the Iron Giant you're writing?
Yeah. This movie is super, to me, it's super relaxing. It's very peaceful. I love that aspect of it. The animation is gorgeous. The there's like the one shot early on of their house, and I just love the colors and the design of the house. But there's something about it. I don't know. Like I don't totally connect with this movie. I feel like I always want to when I watch it, but I don't. I don't know. Like I enjoy it. I think it's really well made. Has a good message, but it just doesn't wow me. It doesn't wow, but I really like it. It's a 3-star movie for me.
Wow. 3 stars from Proto. Danny?
I don't know how to follow that. I don't know how to follow that right now.
Daniel's about to take his headset off.
I love this film. It's like dream project when you're an artist. I feel like for me, this would be like something I would love to have been a part of. Just the planning stages, the design stages, just being a part of telling the story is like top tier for me as a creative. I love this film. It's always going to be a 5-star film for me. The ending is something special with this robot. I love that it's left open for a sequel if they want to. If not, just knowing how it ends with the robot rebuilding himself in the Arctic, flying into space, destroying the nuke. It's just, there's so much about this film I love. It's easily 5 stars. If I could give it more, I would. I love it.
Oh yeah. Double just posted the GIF of him at the end of the movie flying up saying Superman. Vin Diesel, we didn't even say him. He did the voice acting for the giant.
53 words he said in this film.
If you're into Vin Diesel.
I'm definitely into Vin Diesel.
Just a reminder, we're about to get into our voicemails and letters. After that segment, we are about to reveal what's happening next month. Oh my gosh. You know, there was a lot of talk of us taking a break from the theme months.
We're back.
You know, cooking something up. Maybe that's going to happen soon. Who knows? But we got something cooked up for May, and it's Proto's pick. So if you're not giving up on this show after that 3-star rating from Proto and you're ready to hear the next movie,
you'll have another chance.
Buckle up, baby. Get to some voicemails, man. Here.
What's up, 70 Mel? This is Forrest. I was planning to call in to talk about a magical little movie called The Iron Giant, but then something incredible happened.
Tell us.
We got the Shrek episode this morning. Boy, was I excited to fire that up. But then I listened to it. And frankly, the patronizing, antagonistic tone that 2 out of the 3 hosts of this show took on that, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I just want you to know, the passel protects, and the passel does not forget. Anyway, I love you. Bye.
Oh my.
Thank you, Forrest. Oof. We didn't even talk about our shock drop of the Shrek bonus ep. It's our first bonus episode since Star Wars Holiday Special.
Getting the same Christmas. Shrek and Star Wars Holiday Special give me the same vibes.
On the 20th anniversary of
Happy
Shrek.
Birthday, Shrek.
I came out looking great from that episode. I'll tell you what.
On purpose. You don't love that film. You liar.
Came out looking real good.
Man of the possums.
You can leave a voicemail or audio file or letter at 70mmpod.com. There are links on that website. Let's see. Who do we want to get to next? Let's get to Leviathan.
Hello, 70mm pod. Yes, this is Leviathan making another voicemail while I'm still in Colorado. But I had to, because you guys are doing Iron Giant.
Yes.
This is one of my most nostalgic movies as a kid. Oh. This is one of my first, like, real sci-fi movies that I was allowed to watch being an itty-bitty child. And this is one of my favorites. I still, to this day, enjoy watching this movie. It's one of my comfort movies. And it just has a very warm, fuzzy place in my heart. Mm-hmm. And if you guys destroy it, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Look forward to hearing what you guys have to say. And
I don't know how Leviathan's going to feel.
You're safe, Leviathan. You're safe with us.
Remember when Leviathan wanted us to do Star Trek and we did Star Trek the Motion Picture? That was a retro episode.
Feels 20 years ago.
Pre-Discord.
Hey guys, John Tannick here. Just wanted to call in and say I absolutely love this movie. I remember watching it as a kid and it being the movie that would pretty much play on a loop at my house. And most anyone I knew could quote it from beginning to end. And for me, it's the complicated themes of a community feeling afraid of something that they don't quite understand and not knowing how to deal with it that still makes it ring true today. And being able to find a hero in someone that everyone assumes is a villain at first sight adds a layer of depth that I think is missing from a lot of animated movies from this time. And I mean, the voice cast is spot on, from Mike Myers as Shrek to Eddie Murphy as Donkey.
I swear to God.
I mean, they have found a better story to life. I think I bought my first
The Bamboozle
so that I can listen to the soundtrack all the time. And I would attempt a Shrek impression, but I know that Marcy has the Scottish accent on lock.
Stupid.
So I'm going to leave that to her and hope that she follows through at some point. I just want to say shout out to all my villagers out there. Thank you for keeping it real. And beyond thankful for this community that has sprung up from a movie podcast. And it's amazing to think that a group can be so inclusive and accepting when most of us have never met each other. So thanks, guys. Love you all. Looking forward to Shrek 2 in 2024.
First time VM from Sean. We had a lot of Seans in the Discord.
Killed it.
Shrek 2, Danny, what would it take to get you? What tier of Patreon would it have to exist?
They don't want me to do. There's no way they want me to do this. They don't.
We'd have to replace Danny for an episode. We'd have to have like a guest host, like Johnny Carson takes a week off.
I would do.
And Joan Rivers steps in.
Listen to me. I would do Muppets Treasure Island over Shrek 2.
Oh,
I would do Muppets in Space over Shrek 2. Kidding me right now? Trash ass.
Let's not
Shrek
say things
movies.
We can't take back, okay?
Not taking anything back. Let's stand by those words.
Oh,
my
boy.
Word.
What a VM. Let's see. I think we might have a legit voicemail.
Hey, buds. It's Mel. long time no talkie. This isn't a movie voicemail, but
excuse me?
Just a VHS Village appreciation voicemail. I just wanted to thank you guys for doing this podcast and for creating the Discord and just like opening your arms to, and making this amazing community. It's like one of the most loving and like beautiful communities I've
my goodness
ever like been a part of, and I love it so much.
Thank you, Mel.
Tearing up.
It's just, it's unreal how welcoming and just full in love of love and heart it's been.
Oh, man.
Just all like born out of a love for movies. It's amazing. As a wise person named Boom once said, good souls attract good souls.
Uh-oh.
And I think that's so true with 70mm and the VHS Village. And also, thank you for giving me an audience. Because now that more than one person in my life thinks that I'm funny, I've become insufferable around the house. Sorry, Chuck. Anyway, love you guys. I'm not crying. You're crying. Just kidding. I am. I'm crying. Love you.
Love you, Mel. My goodness.
Love you, Mel.
Imagine Mel cackling on her roller skates in that house with Chuck.
Those wood floors are taking a beating right now.
Thank you, Mel.
Every room she rolls into, it's Mel.
Hey, bud. Rolls in there on her van skates. That sounded like Mel was using a microphone.
Interesting.
On that call. I can't pinpoint it, but something sounded different. I don't know. My producer ears. Thank you, Mel. We have one more VM to go before Proto makes his big pick for next week. Let's see. It's here right now.
Hello, 70mm. It's Sophie. Slim, great pick this week with Iron Giant.
Thank you.
Love that movie. Always makes me cry. Vin Diesel at his best. Not why I'm calling for my very first time. I'm calling because this week there was an absolute travesty.
Oh, no.
That got posted in Discord. And that is Proto telling us that he watched 90% of Lulu Wang's The Farewell. My number one movie on Letterboxd. It's my favorite movie. One of my favorite movies. He watched 90% of it and then just stopped. And he turned it off and just never went back to it.
Mm.
And I still don't know how to process this information.
Yeah,
I don't know how you stop a movie that beautiful and then not want to know what happens next. And especially because the last 10 minutes of that movie mm-hmm. are some of the most powerful 10 minutes in cinema.
Mm.
Like, I am so confused. I just really want Proto to explain himself. Oh, so I have it in writing. And by writing, I mean, I'm going to be transcribing this.
Changes words.
It'll be on the record. Because Proto, I don't know. This was a big upset for me. So I need you to explain so we can just get back on the same page.
Mm.
Because to me, watching 90% of something and then stopping mm-hmm. and then not going back is almost worse than watching the movie and then not liking it.
Mm.
I don't know.
Wow.
Just would love some clarification.
Oh my.
Okay, bye.
demanding
mm-hmm.
a explanation from Proto.
Sophie. I can give you an explanation. I don't normally want to do this kind of thing because I'm just going to sound like a typical parent, and it's going to be hard for you to understand. It's hard for anyone to understand if you're not in this situation. I have three kids. I have a full-time job. I am married. There are other things orbiting my life that I understand you may have a favorite movie and it may not compute that I could watch 90% of it and not finish it. But there are things going on in my life.
Weren't you watching Evangelion on your phone while doing laundry?
Don't you dare. Don't you dare try to turn this on me.
Sophie is a dear friend of the show. She is responsible for the transcriptions that exist for the 70mm podcast that you can find on 70mmpod.com. So thank you, Sophie, for the VM.
Sophie, you did this to yourself, so do not be angry with me.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. You talk about anger. Let's get into next month for May.
Pissed.
This was, we threw around a few ideas.
Can I say one of the ideas we had?
Let's hear it.
Meg Ryan month.
We almost had it.
It was in the books.
But I pulled the ripcord on Meg Ryan month, if I'm going to be honest.
Why don't you announce what May is? Official May theme.
Okay.
Yeah. Let it out.
So it was going to be Meg Ryan. I love her dearly. I just feel like we could have gotten to week three and I was worried people were going to get tired of Meg. Okay.
Meg.
And I was afraid that people's reviews of Meg could hurt me, and I don't want to be hurt.
Yeah.
So we made a pivot. We turned May into Leading Ladies Month. And so the movies that we're going to pick for this month are leading ladies actresses or female directors. So we're very excited to do this. Now, I don't know what Proto has cooked up for his pick, but he seems very excited about it, and I'm very excited for him to talk us through this.
Oh, gosh. I already have my pick also done, wrapped.
I
want to just sing it to the mountains right now.
Don't take this from Proto. He needs this
one. But we can't take this moment from Proto. This is his moment.
Don't take this from Proto.
Proto, I'm ready.
Let's hear this.
For you to share what we're going to be watching for the next episode of 70mm.
Back when we did Cult Month, I made a pick, Mr. Nobody. And I had to live with that pick.
Mm.
I had people who were, they were not happy. And I was in a bad spot. I was in a bad place. And after that, I did not want to go back there. I said, you know, let's play it safe. Let's give people what they want. So I've had a few wins since then. And I'm feeling spicy. I'm feeling back. So my pick is, it's a dual leading lady. I got a leading lady actor. I got a leading lady director.
Excuse me.
This is also
double trouble.
An almost pick for me.
Oh.
So this is a Lazarus coming back from the dead when it couldn't be done. This is a redemption. This is 1991's Orlando.
Oh my God.
Directed by Sally Potter, starring Tilda Swinton. This was going to be my pick I won the vote all the way back 10 years ago when we each picked a director. And Danny won, and we watched Riding in Cars with Boys.
Which is a fantastic film.
My pick is Orlando. Actually, sorry, it's 1992. But
I'm speechless.
Oh my gosh.
We're doing this. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. So if you have it, you can watch it there.
Billy Zane's hair in the hero image of this movie on Letterboxd is making me drool right now.
Billy Zane.
Oh,
Tilda.
My gosh.
I was not expecting Orlando to rear its head on this podcast again after that near pick. I will tell you that much.
This is a big deal.
Sally Potter. 1992, Tilda Swinton, Billy Zane, and a host of actors I'm not familiar with.
Tilda's giving me Proto vibes right now.
Sally Potter. Stop. My gosh. I follow one person that has watched this movie.
What do they give it?
And this is Brian Formo, movie critic that I enjoy reading his reviews. He has given 4.5 stars on this movie.
Oh, okay.
Male or female, Sandy Powell is eternal life. That is his one sentence review.
Here we go.
Goodness gracious. Okay. This is sitting at 3.8 on Letterboxd too. So,
but there's one other thing that we do want to call out too for folks that in our Patreon and Discord that enjoy voting for potential episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Proto was whipping something up.
Whipping it.
Leading Ladies Madness. We are putting it back to a vote. The villagers will be able to vote for the final episode of the month. So it's happening. There you have it. Episodes in the bag. The Iron Giant. We did it. We made it. We announced Leading Ladies Month. If you haven't signed up for the Patreon yet and you want that solo print, you want to join our Discord community, time's running out, baby. It's running out real quick. Sign up before May. Proto, closing thoughts as we prepare to watch Orlando before next week.
This week, I wanted to give a shout out to our unknown listeners, who is really the majority of our audience. The majority of our audience, they listen to our show, but they, you know, don't write in. They don't leave voicemails. We don't hear from them, but they enjoy the show and love it. And they're out there. We don't know your names, but I just want to say thank you for listening thank you for, you know, for being here with us.
Mm. Sally Potter's Orlando next week. Goodbye. 70mm is a VHS Village production, featuring original artwork provided by Danny Haas. Spiritual Guidance and V'ger, the robot who loves movies, provided by Protolexus. Producer Emeritus, Dale underscore A. Prints and other merch are available on 70mmpod.com. This episode was mixed, edited, and produced by me, Slim. And you can support our Patreon for access to our Discord to talk movies with other villagers, get early access to episodes, discounts on merch, and a physical membership card mailed to you. If you would like to support our friends at Letterboxd and upgrade to pro or patron status, you can do so with a 20% off discount using the links on 70mmpod.com. Goodbye.